Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to another episode of the Kosafa Show in the midst of the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers over the next weeks as our team set their sights on a place in the Ivory Coast next year.
A new campaign always brings new hope of success, and we'll chat to three of our Football Association presidents as they detail their hopes for the qualifiers as well as give an update on the state of the game in their respective countries.
We will also hear from Botswana Football Association President McLean Letswati and Eswatini's Peter Simelane. But first, Malawi's Walter Nyamulandu shares his views as the Flames aim to make it back-to-back Cup of Nations qualifications.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. There has been, since the Cup of Nations, certainly on the outside, a very feel-good factor about Malawian football, given the way the team performed at there. Is that how you feel inside as well? Do you feel like that was a magic moment for the team?
Oh yeah, by far. After a long spell, we had to deliver, and you know it came by surprise that Malawi went to the round of 16. We needed to showcase how good Malawi was. And unfortunately, all those years we were misfiring. So it's good that the Flames brought some good news to Malawi. The turnaround in performance was excellent, exceptional, as in even beyond expectation of a lot of people. And we take pride in what we achieved. It's something historical. To go to Africa Cup of Nations and as underdogs for that matter, and go beyond the group stages into the round of 16. So we're still enjoying the moment up until now, and I hope it will last for a long time.
And of course, the next set of qualifiers starts so quickly now, just a few weeks. So you want to take that momentum into those. Do you feel like that is?
Yeah, our plan is to start from wherever we left from. You know, we were on a high. We want to capitalize, you know, on that momentum as a springboard. Because the boys have a lot of confidence that they can excel. Yes, we need to guard against that, but it can also be your downfall if you're too content. So we're taking June matches very seriously because we want to go to the Africa Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast. It's an expectation from every fan in Malawi that we'll qualify again. Having seen the good things, you know, nobody wants to be left behind. So it's going to be a roller coaster, and we need to make a big statement in June.
I guess, as you say, expectations have been raised now. Is that a good thing? Does it drive the team on?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing, yes. It gives you pressure, obviously, to deliver, but it's a good thing because it rubs off the players, you know, to aim higher, to look for more. And we want a team that should be hungry for success, you know, and believe that they're capable. And this is what we're capable of doing. So I'm looking forward to matching that challenge. It's good to work under pressure, and we're embracing that pressure very well.
And has it sort of energized domestic football as well? Do you feel like players in the local league as well are now thinking, oh, I want to be a part of that?
Oh, yeah, it's rubbed off. The spin-offs have been huge from families and friends. Talk about sponsors. We've had sponsors coming in now to, you know, sponsor football. People that never believed in Malawi football now suddenly have belief, you know. The spin-offs have been huge, and even at the association now, they believe in themselves. They know that whatever they're working is not in vain. We've been able to deliver something tangible. You know, you can be a president of a football association. If you don't qualify, it's like you have failed. You know, you might deliver on other imperative business imperatives, but if you don't qualify to a major tournament, it means you're a failure. You know, so, you know, there we are, and I can proudly say that we have delivered one of the mandates that we were ushered into office to do.
The World Cup, the next one, 2026, is that achievable for Malawi?
Oh, we're going to work towards it. It's not easy. You know, the World Cup is not easy. But it's always good to take a long shot, you know. Let's see how we fare in the Africa Cup of Nations and Ivory Coast. If we repeat our performance by qualifying, I would say, yes, we've got a realistic chance. So first things first. You know, yes, we want to go to the World Cup. That's how we're preparing very well. That's why we have reorganized the technical setup, appointed the expatriate coach who led us in Cameroon, because we know if we qualify, then we can realistically dream about going to the World Cup.
And if we look at just the moving to domestic football, the domestic league this season, how would you characterize that?
Started very well. Our qualification to Cameroon affirmation has just set the momentum. Every player now believes that they can play, you know, for Malawi national team, because we have a coach who doesn't pick players based on you know, names. So, you know, he picks players based on merit and on form. So there's a lot of competition, very good competition. And the clubs as well, you know, because this victory was not only achieved by Farm, was achieved by the clubs and all stakeholders we, you know, that we work with. So it started on a very good note. Last year was bad because of COVID. Now with COVID out of the way, you know, things are looking good for this season. And hopefully we could produce a lot of talented players that can come and surprise Malawians and play for Malawi national team.
Maybe a bit more of a difficult question, but you talked about picking on form. Some of your players based outside of Malawi are not necessarily playing as much with their clubs as they would like to and perhaps you would like to. Is that an issue for you at all?
Yeah, we're monitoring their performances. They might not play, but we know how good they are. But if they are called into camp and they are fit, they can deliver. That's a task that the coach needs to look at. We are obviously concerned. Some of them don't have game time, like Gabadino. But you know when Gabadino steps onto the ground, he would deliver if he's fit. So there you can tick the box, you know. So we're not too worried about some of those names, but maybe those that have been on a long layoff for a very long time, I'll be more worried. But we had an issue in the past where players were just called in camp because they had been with Malawi for a long time and they were popular, but they were overaged. We were worried that we were not growing, you know, just calling names for the sake of it, because of experience. The coach wants to invite players that are competitive, that can deliver, that can add value. Not because they were stars in the past. That mentality has shifted. And the new players that are playing in the Super League now, I believe that they have a realistic chance playing for Malawian because the door has been opened. There won't be any bias at all. If they're good enough, they will any right to play for Malawian national team.
Now, you yourself are a former national team player. Does that help you in your current role, perhaps to understand the dynamics within a team?
Yeah, kind of. That's where I come from. I understand the mindset, you know, what they go through before a match, what they need, what it will require to make them perform at the highest level during the match, you know, their welfare. And for me, a player comes first. So when we're going into camp, I make sure that the camping environment is in good condition. For me, it's a priority, you know, because football, 90% is in the mind. If the mind is not switched on, no matter what you do, you're going to have players that are off, you know. So it has helped me a lot in terms of also the technical development of the game. What do the players need? What coaching skills do they need? You know, so I'm able to relate to my background and to where we want to go, you know, to my vision, because I've been there, I've done it, you know. So it does help. And also coming from a corporate background, I'm able to embrace now the corporate field. How should the association grow? It's not just playing the game, but how should we be well organized? How should we be structured? What kind of governance systems? How can we make money? You know, so I'm just, if I may use the word, well-rounded for the job.
And just moving off the pitch now, I know that FAM has been, I think, trying to get into the sort of TV station. Is that correct? Or send feeds into TV station? Can you just explain that?
Yeah. So we've been trying to find ways of how we can make revenue in Malawi for our stakeholders, particularly the clubs. The only source of revenue we rely on has been on gate takings for many years, and there's a lot of fraud there. It's very difficult to control. But you look around the world, most money is made from TV. So we're trying to explore how we can, you know, boost our revenue streams from TV. And we launched a platform called Impera TV. Impera is football. So we call it maybe football TV by partnering with broadcasting partners, particularly pay TV. That's where money is. So we partnered with a pay TV provider in Malawi. We're trying to make money through subscription. And that's the only way that we can. We've tried in the past through free-to-air. It's very difficult to control, and you're not guaranteed of revenue streams. So we've started, you know, as a trial, some success, and we are still in the progress to see how we can optimize value from broadcasting. And we also want to explore revenue from digital space, you know, on Facebook and YouTube, you know, but we want to bed down the quality of the content that we're going to showcase on TV. If the quality is very good, then we will now migrate into digital. And that's where money is. So, because the game has to be self-sustainable. We rely on FIFA for funding. We have sponsors, but it's not enough. So we need to look at our own ways on how we can make money. So particularly the clubs that most of them in Malawi are struggling. They don't have sponsors. you know, so they need to boost our revenue streams. And it's our responsibility as a governing body to explore all these avenues.
And, of course, your ladies team did very well as well recently. In terms of women and junior football, where were you with that?
Yeah, women, fantastic. You know, we lost in the finals. Unlucky, you know, but there's loads of potential there. And we believe that we have a good chance to go to the World Cup earlier than the men's. And we're trying to sharpen our technical aspects. And having a full-time coach, maybe an expatriate, if we have the resources, dedicated administration team to manage women's football and build it as a brand, because we are all fighting for the same cake. You know, so we're trying to see how can we build women's football as a brand to attract sponsors. We don't have sponsors yet. We've been single-handedly as firm sponsoring all activities. And if we're able to make that breakthrough commercially as a brand, technically, where we start winning, I think we will go places, and there's loads of potential now. Youth-wise, we're well-structured now. We have under 12, under 14, under 16, under 18, under 20 leagues, all through FIFA Forward funding. We have a good technical team. We are now launching a football school of excellence. We want to bridge the gap now of schools football. That's where the gap is. You know, and we think once we go into schools football, then our youth development structures will be integrated. We are in all districts as an association. We're sponsoring a competition in each district, 29 districts. So in terms of grassroots and football in the rural areas, very active. You know, and what we need to improve is not just scouting now. The biggest challenge we have in Africa is scouting, because football is played across the country in areas where you're not there, but there's abundant talent. Okay, we want to have a good scouting network. So when we call players for Malawi national team, you know, they are quality, they are good, and we haven't left anybody behind. That's a space that we want to venture into.
Botswana Football Association President Maclean Tshwiti says these are exciting times for the organization, with a maiden appearance at the CAF Women's Cup of Nations finals in Morocco next month and a joint bid with Namibia to host the 2027 Africa Cup of Nations finals.
Mr. Tshwiti, thank you so much for your time. We really just want to find out what the current state is at Botswana Football Association and any projects that you have on the go that are coming up.
Well, as you are aware, we're just coming out of a devastating 2 years of inactivity. And when we came back to playing, you know, the cost of playing was much higher because of the COVID-19 protocols. So it hasn't been very easy, you know, but we've managed to start all footballing activities, and I think in two or so months we'll be concluding our league after the aftermath of COVID-19. You know, the exciting thing at BFA is that we managed for the first time to qualify for the women team to qualify for the AFCON. So, you know, that's one exciting thing. The other exciting thing is that, you know, Botswana and Namibia have the ambition to host the AFCON for 2027. So I think this is one of the major projects that will be occupying, you know, space in our footballing activities, you know, which actually means it's not only to host, but to prepare a competitive team to show up for the 2027 AFCON competitions.
And those are two great subjects I'd like to talk about both. Yeah. But if we start with the 2027 Cup of Nations, obviously we've seen a lot of the recent tournaments in West Africa coming up. Are you confident that Botswana and Namibia together can put on a show for 2014?
I think the political will is there. If we prepare well and there's unity between the two countries, I've no doubt we can pull it. Obviously, we would not have gone into the project if we don't think we have the potential to host the competition.
And what are sort of the key aspects of trying to persuade CAF that you are the right host? What does Botswana and Namibia bring that will come to the tournament?
Well, it's the richness, you know, or cultural richness of the two regions, you know, in terms of tourism, you know, in terms of, you know, the people, you know, the friendly people. And, you know, that football is loved by everybody, you know, in Africa and Botswana. But most importantly, if you look at Africa, if you look at the world football, you know, Europe is far better than Africa. If you look at Africa, the North is better than the South. So it's not only about organizing a competition. It's about bringing football infrastructure to par, or at least close to where it's supposed to be. So you are not only staging a competition, but improving the footballing infrastructure so that you don't only host CAF, but there are so many CAF competitions that we could host. So it's just the beginning of good things to come. The other thing is, you know, FIFA, CAF, we have the responsibility to improve the footballing infrastructure, you know, in Africa. So that's an opportunity, you know, to uplift the footballing infrastructure for these two regions, because there's a vast difference between North Africa and South Africa, you know. But not only that, through this competition, you are reaching out to the most disadvantaged members of their community, you know. So, and also, you are promoting, from a government perspective, you are promoting tourism in the region. So there's so many things that you are going to achieve through staging of this competition. Yeah.
And then if we just move on to the mayors, as you said, they've qualified for the 2022 Africa Women's Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
They've steadily improved over the last few years. They knocked South Africa out of the qualifying for the Olympics. How has that improvement come about? I believe there's a partnership with the German Football Association, is that correct?
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things that we managed to do was to keep this group of girls together for a concerted period of time. You know, they started playing together from the age of 15 to where they are. That also helps, you know, because they've been together, they've been playing together. But, you know, even the partnership with the Germans has assisted by way of coach education, you know, player pathway, you know, because, you know, football is not only about in the field. There's the technical aspect of the game that, you know, the relationship between the German Football Association and the Botswana Football Association has improved, you know, because as you know, football now, it's a science. There's no longer small and big countries. It's the difference between technical, you know, ability. You know, even a small country, well organized with highly technically competent team, will compete. So that's where we got assistance to uplift the game.
If we look at the improvement in that area in the last few years, if we look at Drone and Galaxy making the group stages of the Champions League and whatnot, does this suggest that Botswana football as a whole is moving forward and seemingly at quite a pace?
Look, not at the pace that I'll be happy, but you know, we are embarking on professionalizing football. So these are the new symptoms of, you know, professionalizing the game, because, you know, our teams now, they used to fall off at preliminary level, but now we see them going into the second stage, third stage. And it all hinges on our developmental programs, you know, that feeds into national teams, into, you know, professional clubs. So there's a concerted effort to improve. So the improvement is not by chance, you know, it's planned and budgeted for.
We can see it's moving forward, as you say, maybe not at the pace you would like, but what are some of the challenges and what are some of the things that are going to push you to the next level that you can see coming up?
Well, I think it's a robust youth development programs that we have. And the second is we are now professionalizing the league, which means clubs will be run like businesses by business people. So that also would improve, you know, the level of professionalism in that regard. Yeah.
And then if we just talk very briefly about CASAFA and the importance of things like the CASAFA Cup and the women's under 17 and the boys under 17 for Botswana in terms of bringing, through giving opportunity and exposure international level for young players.
Yeah, you know, CASAFA is very important, you know, because, you know, football is about playing and competition. So CASAFA exposes these players at edge to compete internationally. So it's very important that COSAFA steps up its youth development programs. But I'm proud to say, if you look at the entire Africa, COSAFA has more youth competitions than any other region.
Eswatini Football Association President Peter Simelane admits the COVID-19 pandemic has been a blow to his country's football, but adds there are signs of better days ahead after a strong showing in last year's COSAFA Cup, where Sihlangu finished third, and the run of Royal Leopard to the Confederation Cup group stages.
Thank you so much for your time. I really just wanted to catch up with you where the Eswatini Football Association is and the game in the country. So obviously we're coming almost out of a difficult period with COVID-19. Whereabouts are you in terms of the local league at the moment?
Thank you for hosting me. And in terms of football in Swaziland, we are playing. And as you know, that before there was COVID, so we're moving from the COVID era to football era now, because we're almost playing full time. In terms of football, I think we are doing very well because the league started last year and it's almost finished. We are left with about 3 or 4 games before we finish the league. Competitive wise, I think our league is competitive this year because you can tell that the top teams are fighting for the honor, so they want to win the league. At the moment, you can't tell which team is going to win the league, even at the bottom. So there are a lot of teams which are fighting for survival because they can be relegated at any time. But in terms of football standard, yes, it's good. And I think even in this tournament, the AFCON one, which we'll be playing in the next 2 weeks, we are going to compete. The standard of football in Swaziland is improving very, very well.
Of course, that was illustrated in Royal Leopard making the group stages of the CAF Confederations Cup. That must have been a big boost maybe to everyone in the country in terms of proving that Eswatini football is moving forward.
Yes, it is. As you know, that Royal Leopards did very well, although they were number last in their group. But the experience gained by those players is going to help Swaziland football, because they competed at that high level. So if we get the Royal Leopard players and mixed with the local players, I think we are going to get something going forward.
Okay. So Mr. Simelane, the experience of having Royal Leopard play in the CAF Confederations Cup must have been a great boost to domestic football as well, in terms of proving that Eswatini football is moving forward in the right direction.
Yes, thank you for that. Yes, Royal Leopard was playing at the high level in terms of African football. And the experience they gained there is going to help us as a country, because they did not do bad. You know, they played well, although they were the last in their group. So we feel that with their experience mixed with the local guys and one or two international, the country is going to do very well going forward. So we are going to compete in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, going to Algeria in the earlier rounds and then Libya, and obviously, playing in South Africa as well, that must be a big boost to those players who are going to the national team as well. Because as you say, there's the 2023 Africa Nations qualifiers coming up. So they have that experience as well of traveling on the continent with their club.
Yes, I think we have about 6 players from Royal Leopards. Then you can tell that if you've got 6 players and all of them have good experience, mixed with the local players playing with those big guns, the Algerians, the South African team, it means that our soccer level, it's not as low as people think. So we might surprise one of the big guns, you know, because we are in the same group as Togo, Cape Verde, and Burkina Faso. But yes, we will try our best as a country, because we want to lift the standard. And we've got a mandate that at least Swaziland one day must qualify to play the finals of this AFCON and the CHAN competitions.
I think what we've also seen, if we speak about the Kasafa Cup over the last few years, is just how competitive Eswatini have been in that tournament as well. That must be pleasing. And just maybe a word on the platform that Kasafa gives to the national team in terms of the Kasafa Cup, giving them more international fixtures.
No, you know, Kasafa is helping us a lot. You know, it's a tournament within our regions where we compete, especially the local players. And as you remember that last year, we did very well and then we lost at the quarterfinals. But the country did very, very well, you know. And you remember that I think we played Senegal and we lost on penalties. Otherwise, the score first half was 2-0 and we thought everything was a done deal. But you know, those big guns, they came back and with that experience, we know what to expect, especially going forward.
And if we just talk about women's and junior football in the country, where are we with that?
Yes, with women football, we are still putting more effort to improve the standard. Although we don't have a lot of teams with women, but yes, they are playing, they are competitive, but the standard it's not as good as the men's. And we are trying to reach all the women in the country, all over the country, so that we can get a good pool of women players, so that going forward we compete with the juniors. Yes, we are doing very well because all over the country, the regions, we are getting the sponsors for the juniors, and there is a tournament for the juniors sponsored by Pick and Pay, which involves all the junior men and girls all over the country. But beside that one, which is a big one, each and every region have got juniors sponsored by companies and in Swaziland. So we think in terms of development, we are moving in the right direction. We are getting the support from companies in Swaziland.
And you talk about that support from the corporates. What is it really that's needed to take Eswatini football to the next stage? But is it a simple case of having enough money to invest in all of these programs, or is there more that is needed?
I think it's money, because without money you cannot do anything, you know. So as we get money and we get more young players to play, then that will assist us, because football we will develop. As you know, that you have to catch it at an early stage. So we're trying to catch the young boys and girls at early stage, so that as they grow with football, and one day we hope that they will become professional. As you know, that in Swaziland, we used to have internationals, the known one, the Spogos, the Yuki Masinas, etc. Those who were the products of the juniors, you know. So there was those organized junior teams, and then they came from those academies. So juniors are important in developing football in a country. So we hope with these sponsors from corporate organization, we are going to improve our football in the country.
That's it for another episode of the Kasafa Show. We'll be back next time with reaction to the 2022 Kasafa Cup draw in what is a busy time for many teams from our region, with the African Nations Championship qualifiers also set to kick off in July.
Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on Sokoloduma Radio, Kasafa.tv, Spotify, and iTunes. You'll also get the latest news via our website at www.kasafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.